Hello everyone, my name is Jerry Mushono, your host for the Peace Be Still podcast. I'm all about helping you find peace in this chaotic world. Thanks for joining me. It means a lot. Follow me on social media, that's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, by searching for @JerryMushono. For extra content, check out our website at www.jerrymushono.com and explore our online courses. Last week, we talked at length about pride. We saw that the Lord resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Guess what else is true? Judging others is a form of pride. Why, you may ask? Because you are not like them. You are always right. Self-righteousness. And they are wrong. Let's jump right into today's discussion. In the heart of a bustling cosmopolitan city, where the hustle was the anthem and ambition painted the skies, I found myself at the crux of an unexpected crossroad. It was a day like any other, until it wasn't. I handed in my resignation at a job that many would call a golden opportunity. But to me, it was a gilded cage. That's when Joey entered the story. Joey was a colleague of mine, the kind who thrived with the corporate walls, her eyes reflecting the skyscrapers that stretched into the horizon. She saw my departure as a surrender, the white flag hoisted before even the battle had truly begun. "People are talking, you know," she said, her voice tinged with a mix of concern and unwelcome pity. "They say you're making a grave mistake, that bringing faith into your career is foolish." I could feel the weight of her gaze, heavy with the same judgment that cloaked whispers everywhere. It was the kind of scrutiny that aimed to measure the worth of a person by the stillness of their ambition, using a flawed scale of societal success that often disregarded the contents of one's heart. "I'm not going at it alone," I replied, more to myself than to her. "I have a different vision, one that resonates with what I believe is my path." "But what about money, security, reason?" she pressed on. "Sometimes reason is in the unseen, the unmeasured. We spend so much time looking outward for validation that we forget to look upward for guidance. Remember James 4:12? There's only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor?" Her expression softened, but only momentarily. Disbelief still hung in the air between us like a cold fog. The days that followed were a solitary stroll through uncharted territory. I watched as former colleagues morphed into distant silhouettes, their judgment becoming nothing more than echoes from a world I had willingly left behind. I was referred to in the past tense, a cautionary tale whispered in the corners of boardrooms and over cups of coffee. They said I would fail without the crutch of corporate prestige. They thought I was in it for the money, but they never understood the currency I sought was not minted by human hand. Day by day, I sculpted my new reality, one where work and worship weren't soul enemies, but allies in a life I yearned to live fully. Blending my skills with service tightened the weave of my passion and purpose, shaping a tapestry too rich to be quantified by the sterility of spreadsheets and stock reports. In this new light, God wasn't just a silent spectator, but an active participant in my endeavors. The very essence that they thought would spell my downfall became the cornerstone of something deeply fulfilling. Seasons changed, and so did I. My faith, once questioned and ridiculed, began to bear fruit in ways that defied the prognosis of naysayers. Growth sprouted not just in my ventures, but within me, a testament to the resilience that blooms from trust and unwavering conviction. Then one day, Joey appeared on the edge of my new world, bringing with her the shadow of the past. "I see it now," she said, a gentle concession in her voice. "I see the fulfillment you spoke of. It was never about the paycheck or the applause. It was about aligning your work with your values." Misunderstandings are common when you only see a slice of someone's life, I offered, the past forgiven, friend. In the quiet exchange that followed, I hoped she saw more than success. I hoped she saw surrender to a higher calling, the beauty of a path walked in faith, and the freedom that comes when you release yourself from the shackles of judgment. For therein lies the truth, veiled by our biases and fears, waiting to be uncovered in the brilliance of lives led not by the stamp of approval from others, but by the law of divine assurance. And in that space, where judgment falters and understanding dawns, humanity finds its truest reflection, and our stories find worth not in applause, but in authenticity and purpose. The story above may sound fictional, but it's a true story about my life. Not someone else's, but my own life. I have lived a portion of my life totally being misunderstood, which is okay. I was not created to be understood, but to be a witness. How many of you can relate to what I'm talking about? The word of God is very clear when it comes to us making judgments about others. When we judge or speak evil about others, we are actually passing judgment on God's law. Do you remember the last time you met someone who is a Christian and they were behaving badly, or rather, they were not espousing Christian values? What do I mean? You may be wondering. I have heard people come and tell me that they met so-and-so. So-and-so is a Christian, but the words they are speaking and how they were lashing out on the waiters at the restaurant did not leave anyone wanting to be associated with them. You know, the thing is this. The person may have been having such a bad day, and as such, they were unable to control their emotions. Does this really make the person a bad person? There is a story that goes like this. There was this man who was traveling with his young children on public transport, a bus to be precise. The kids were making so much noise, laughing and playing. If you have been to any part of Europe, people are very individualistic and they do not appreciate noise and prefer that kids keep their cool and to themselves. So these kids were being somewhat of a nuisance to the others. One person could not take it anymore and spoke up and asked the gentleman, "Why can't you control your children? They are making too much noise. They are such a distraction." The man just looked at this person and said, "We have just come from the hospital and the children have just lost their mother. She passed away. Forgive me, but I do not know what to say to them, and therefore I am just allowing them to be." Selah. If there is a Bible verse that has been misunderstood by Christians, is "do not judge." Many Christians use it as an excuse to do as they please, and once they are called out for bad behavior, they get defensive and state, "Don't judge me. What makes you think that you are better than me?" However, this is not what the verse means. What it means is that we should not make conclusions about people, especially our fellow brothers and sisters in faith. The word judge means to make or determine or come to a conclusion about something. So, when we judge others, we are making a conclusion about the person, and yet we do not know the condition of their heart. It is only God who knows the hearts of men. And when we conclude or make a determination about someone based on an action, this is very wrong. If the Bible was telling us not to correct, then it would not have said rebuke one another in love. To rebuke is to correct. This therefore means that we have the right to correct each other on this journey, but correction does not mean we have made a determination on who the person is. We have just simply observed a shortcoming in behavior based on the Word of God, and we should pick this shortcoming and then in love rebuke our brother or sister. So when your brother or sister comes up to you with the right motives and a heart of humility and corrects you, do not tell them not to judge you. Many of the times, because of our own evil desires and insecurities, we seldom want to be corrected and therefore take each and every correction as a person judging you. This is very wrong, my friends. What I usually say is this: when someone comes to me with a message, be it a rebuke or a correction, I will listen to them and what they are saying. I will be sure not to mix the message with the messenger. Once I have alone time, I will then take the thing the person said to God in prayer and ask God whether or not what they were saying is true. If it is, I repent. If it is not, at least I did not try to defend myself, as God is my defender, and He will justify me in the end. My friends, do you find yourself fighting a message because of the messenger? Is it difficult for you to take correction? Do you always so take correction with nuances like the person does not like me, they think they are better than me, they are just jealous of me? If this is the case, the problem is you and not the other person. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we are each other's accountability partners. And if you do not like accountability, then it's best not to consider yourself a Christian. God gave us community, brothers and sisters, so that we may build each other up and not tear each other down. As your sister in Christ, I may be the only spiritual mirror you may ever have to look into. When you go and stand in front of a mirror, especially women, how many images do you see? Tell me, how many? One or two? Well, there are two, right? The one that you see and the one that you would like to see. So for me, as the image staring back at you from in the mirror, I will speak to you and tell you, correct your speech. Be patient. Let the Lord fight for you. My role is to guide you to be the perfect image that I know you want to see yourself as. Stop fighting correction. Receive it and be grateful. Also, because of the grace that has been extended to you, do not make conclusions about others. Let me share with you what judging is not. Number one, it is not judging someone to be discerning with regards to their character or teaching, right? What do I mean? We live in times when tolerance, unity, and love, which usually means being nice, are dominant themes in the church. If you dare to confront or expose sin, or if you label someone's teaching as unbiblical, or the person as a false teacher, you get accused of being judgmental and unloving. But the Bible is clear that a pastor is being extremely unloving to allow wolves to prey on the flock, or to allow sinning believers to infect the flock without confronting and exposing them. Number two, it is not judging someone to speak to him, and if necessary, to others, about sin or false teaching. I've heard people say, I could never confront anyone about their sin because we are not supposed to judge others. Let him who is without sin cast the first stone. That is escapist, my friend. But To dodge is easy. To dodge means you don't want to take any responsibility. If you see your child about to run in front of a speeding car, would you not do everything in your power to warn him or her? Then, likewise, if you see a brother in Christ about to ruin his life by sin or by believing false, damnable doctrine, love should motivate you to do everything possible to warn him or her. Number three, it is not judging someone to evaluate spiritual maturity or doctrinal views for ministry or shepherding purposes. What do I mean? To make wise ministry decisions and to shepherd the flock, you must make judgment about a person's character and doctrinal views. Sometimes you must communicate your evaluations to others that may be affected by a person's immaturity or unbiblical views. Sometimes I have to tell people that, in my judgment, they should not attend another church in town based on my knowledge of the ministry there. This is not being judgmental. If my motive is to help the person, I'm talking in regards to you growing in Christ by avoiding a church where holiness and sound doctrine are not priorities. As I come to the end, let me share a few points of what judging others looks like. Now, number one, you judge someone wrongly when you criticize them out of jealousy, bitterness, selfish ambition, or some other sin rather than seeking to build them up in Christ. In other words, your motive is crucial. Slander, which is maligning someone or damaging their reputation by sharing false or deliberately misleading information, this in itself is sin. It also means that any form of criticism or running someone down from selfish motives is sin. In other words, what you are saying may be true, but the reason you're saying it is to make yourself look good and put the other person in bad light. If your motive is criticizing the other person because of jealousy, selfish ambition, rivalry, pride, or hatred, you, my friend, are judging wrongly. Number two, you judge someone wrongly when you assume that you know all of the facts and motives behind the person's words or actions. I think we discussed at length about this, and there's no need for me to repeat it. Number three, you judge someone wrongly when you set up human standards rather than holding to God's word as the standard. Just because things are done a certain way and the person seems to be doing them in a way that the world does not do them, you judge them. Because your lack of maturity in the word, it's easy for you to condemn what you do not know. Believing what you know according to the standards of the world is the right thing to do. That's judging someone. Now, another example of judging someone wrongly is when you do not first judge your own sin before trying to help another with his or her sin. In Matthew 7:1-5, Jesus does not say that it is wrong to help your brother get the speck out of his eye, but rather, before you try to do so, deal with the log in your own eye. If you went to the eye doctor to remove a speck from your eye and had a log protruding from his eye, you wouldn't want him to touch you or your eyes with a long pole. And from the other viewpoint, if you haven't removed the log from your eye, you will come across as arrogant, lacking in compassion, if you try to help a brother with his speck. Removing our own logs, my friends, has a way of humbling us. And finally, you judge someone wrongly when you make an authoritative pronouncement about his or her eternal destiny. Basically, when you tell someone that because of their actions they are going to hell, that's a conclusion you've made right there. How do you know that they are going to hell? Like I said, it is only God who knows the hearts of men and where each of us will end up. You too cannot know where this person will end. But the right thing to do is not to judge them. In the final analysis, only God knows the hearts of men. You can say this based on the fruit. I question the person's salvation. In talking with a professing Christian whose life or doctrine do not line up with scripture, you can simply say, if I were in your shoes, I'd also question my salvation. But we cannot authoritatively say to someone, you're going to hell. Friends, only God knows that for sure. In conclusion, what should you do if someone shares damaging or critical information about another person with you? You will find that often the person with the evil report will test your spirit to detect if the person you're open to hearing it. He may ask for your opinion of the person, or he may drop a negative comment about the person and watch your response. He may try to get your curiosity up by asking, have you heard about so and so? He may pose as asking you for counsel on how to help this person, but you discover that he has no intention of helping the person. You may also discover that he or she has already shared the situation with many others that had no need to know. I find that sometimes I cannot stop the person before they share the judgmental information, but I try to ask at least the first question as soon as I can. You too can choose to use these questions. Let me list them for you. Number one, what is your reason for telling me that story? Number two, where did you get your information? Number three, have you gone directly to the person involved and sought to restore them? Number four, have you personally checked all the facts? And number five, can I quote you if I go and check this out? Friends, the next time you are tempted to run down someone, remind yourself, who am I to judge? Can I judge myself first? After all, the only one who can truly judge me and you is the one who sees all, from conception to culmination. Let us share a prayer as we end. Heavenly Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that each and every listener may learn from your Holy Spirit what it means to judge. May they come to the understanding that you are the only one who has the right to make any judgment as the law proceeds from you. Teach us, Lord, to honor others by not speaking ill of them, but to always extend grace to them as we would like it extended to us. Father, I pray for every listener who is struggling with being judged. Give them peace. Or those who have carried a spirit of judgment against others, Father, draw them to repentance and change their hearts. Thank you, Father, because I know you have heard me. And now, in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I declare peace. Be still. If you like this episode and want to inspire others facing similar trials, feel free to share the episodes, post it on social media, or leave a rating and review. Remember, you can stay updated with all my latest content by following me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Njeri Mushono. Once again, thank you for listening. And remember, your story is far from over. A new chapter awaits you. A chapter of triumph, of hope, and of resilience. Until next time, take care and God bless.